Let's read the scripture together from John chapter 8, verse 1 to 11. I have all the scripture in the PowerPoint. Let's read together. Jesus returned to the Mount of Olives, but early the next morning, he was back again at the temple. A crowd soon gathered, and he sat down and taught them. As he was speaking, the teacher of religious law and the Pharisee brought a woman who has been caught in the act of adultery. They put her in front of the crowd. Say, teacher, they said, the act of adultery. The law of Moses said to the stone her, what do you say? Verse 8, they were trying to trap him, saying, they keep demanding an answer. So he's then he stooped down again and wrote in the dust. Verse 9. When his accuser heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the elders, until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. Where are the accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you? No, Lord, she said. And Jesus said, neither do I. Go and sin no more. Let's pray. Lord, we may be familiar with this scripture, but God, open our heart, open our eye, open our eyes, open our spirit, so we can view, we can see and know Jesus. And through this scripture, teach us how to be act like Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In 2008, this is a news in Taiwan, very famous. Talk about the ex-president. They found out he's in charge of corruption with a lot of money. So many issues. People put a finger to this family. Everyone talk about this family, condemn this family. Nobody like this family. The ex-president of Taiwan. So they fill up a lot of process to put on the court, but no one want to be a lawyer. Finally, one brother, they call Mr. Li Xinhong, he stand up to be their defender, to be a lawyer. It's not easy, as everyone through the media condemn this president family. They think there's so corruption, nobody need to have mercy on this family. So he stand up to be his defender, and also as a lawyer to help this family. Even the church, if the people from his church call him, say, hey, Mr. Li, don't help this family. Let them go to jail. Don't help them. No need to help them. No mercy on this family. But this lawyer, Mr. Li, he write an article in the newspaper in 2008. When I read it, it's so touching. He talked about his calling, his vocation. He said, as a lawyer, it is my calling to defend for the people. When this family, they need someone to defend for them, I need to stand up. It is my calling. And also, I have a second calling. I would like to help people to know Jesus, to bring the people to Jesus. Really mean it. When this lawyer, Mr. Li, meet the family, ex-president of Taiwan, the first thing they want to talk before talk about the case, they pray. Because this lawyer, he remember one day when he worshiped in the church, he remembered this family, especially the president's wife, she raised up his hand, accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. So you know that when people have Jesus in their heart, they always have hope in their life. They also have a chance to change by Jesus. So before they talk about the case, they pray together. They pray. And so at the end of the discussion, he also give them daily bread. Help them to connect with Jesus. He know that only in Jesus they can find peace and forgiveness. So I read this article or his writing in newspaper, really touching, about his calling. His calling. I think even we are not a lawyer, when we also have this kind of calling in our life, we are forgiven children, we are forgiven Christians. We should have right. We should defend for others. And also we should have a calling to bring Jesus to the people and help people to know Jesus. It is our calling. Just like this lawyer. Sometimes people love to condemn people, accuse people, point out their sin, put them to death. But no one stand up, defends people, help people to find Jesus. Help people to know Jesus. They can find the real peace and forgiveness. Just like in this story, many people familiar in this story, but sometimes it's only in our head. We didn't put it in our action. How to defend? How to act like Jesus? Act like people we are forgiven in Christ. Before we go into the story, first 1 and 2 is about the background. Just after a big festival, they celebrate tabernacle, and also a lot of people go to Jerusalem. Great celebration. But after celebration, Jesus goes in the temple and teach people about the scripture. It is normal when people have case or something that difficult to judge. They bring the case, bring the people to Jesus as a rabbi, as a teacher. So it's common. The scripture said in early morning when Jesus was teaching in the temple, people bring them the case. What's the case? We all know this case, but before you go into details, I would like to say that sometimes we're too familiar with this scripture. Sometimes we don't know how to act it out in our life. In this scripture, I would like to point out 3 things we can learn and apply into our life. Actually, in the topic, we talk about who had the right to throw the first stone. Actually, we have the right. But before you throw the first stone, think about 3 things. The first one, look into your heart. Look into your heart. What is your real motivation? What is your real motivation? In verse 3 to 4, the people bring up a woman to Jesus and mention that she was caught in the act of adultery. Put her in front of the people. Verse 4, they said, "Hey, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. What do you say? What do you say?" According to the Bible, according to the Old Testament, we should stone her. Actually, they're right. They're right. According to the Old Testament, for example, he said, if a man have sex with his uncle's wife, he was violating his uncle. Both the man and woman should be punished for their sin, and they will die childless. And second scripture, Deuteronomy. How about you help to read this scripture? Deuteronomy chapter 22, 23 to 24. He must take both of them to the gate of that town and stone them to death. The man must die because he violated another man's wife. In this way, you will punish this evil from among you. From the scripture, it clearly says that we should do some action, punish this couple of man and woman. It's right, according to the Bible. But it is tough for Jesus. If you say yes or no, they want to trap him. They want to against him because according to the Bible, they should stone this woman. But actually, according to their political situation, when they want to execute this punishment, they need to report or get a permission from the Roman government. So no matter Jesus say yes or no, the people have a pawn to against Jesus. Yes, according to the Bible, the people have the right, or Jesus has the right. People, everyone have the right to stone this woman. But Jesus, according to this Bible, very interesting point, a very important point is verse 8. They were trying to trap him, to trap Jesus, to against Jesus. Although they quote the Bible to justify their action, but this important scripture point out God look into their heart, look into their motivation. Before we try to throw the first stone, think about the first point. Jesus said, or the Bible said, God look into our heart. What is the real motivation? Most of you attend the joint Sunday school class on last Sunday. We have a Pastor David Leung to teach us about leadership development. After review all the survey, we will have more leadership planning for next year. I hope we can build you up as a leader in the church. And throughout the last 2 months, we have the SHAPE program. Talk about finding your passion, spiritual gift, ability, so that you can be useful for God and for His kingdom. Find your kingdom purpose. It's good, very exciting, right? We're almost done this program. But before we serve, find your spiritual gift, find your passion, find your ability is important. But besides this, we also look into your heart. Because Jesus looked into our motivation and heart. I want to share an article. It's really good. It's written by Pastor Andy Stanley, The State of Heart Leadership. Heart leadership. Leadership is important, but God also looked into our heart. He highlights 3 points I would like to share with you this morning. Talk about guilt, anger, and jealousy. All come from your heart. So make sure your heart is pure before we serve. The first thing about guilt. Leaders who carry unresolved guilt are forced to hide a part of themselves from those to whom they are closest. They have a secret. Or read an underlined point. They know that they are not completely trustworthy. Guilty leaders have a difficult time trusting, and they have a difficult time to team building. When they have guilt, they don't trust himself. They don't trust the people beside him. The first point, search your heart. Is there any guilt in your heart? Otherwise, this secret, it will damage not only yourself, but the whole team. The second point, talk about your heart, is anger. People love to point to other people, finger point other people, point out their sin. But if they have anger in their heart, this pastor said that they can never quit put their finger on. And also, according to his analysis, they always hard to cooperate with. Always point finger to other people, against people. The third one, jealousy. If they have jealousy in their heart, this kind of leader, they love to measure their success by the future of others. They want to highlight the people's mistake in order to build up or show them they're successful. They focus on how well others are not doing rather than looking for ways to move their own organization forward. Always look on other people's mistake to show them I'm better than you. I mean, it's important. Look about, search your heart when we serve. Search your heart. Guilt, anger, and jealousy. It's really not only kill yourself, but the whole team, the whole fellowship. You like, I can forward this article to you. We can learn together how to serve, not only by your skill, not only by spiritual gift, but Lord, only God also look into your heart. Just like in Proverbs chapter 4, 23, he said, above all else, guard your heart. Guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Just like fountain, it is the center. It is not pure, it ruins everything. Your family, your ministry, your work, all come from your heart. Just like this scripture, the Pharisee, the teacher of the law, yes, they have the right to condemn, to stone this woman. Yes, or accuse Jesus. But Jesus said, or the Bible said, God looked into their heart and looked into their motivation. It's something we should learn and remember. Remind ourselves, God looked into our heart. And second thing we should learn from this scripture, look at your sin. Look at your sin. Do you feel trapped in sin? in this scripture. Interesting, when people force Jesus, hey, give me answer, yes or no, stone this woman or not. Interesting, Jesus write something on the dust, on the ground. There's so many explanations, or as people want to guess, why would Jesus writing something on the dust, on the ground? Some people say that maybe Jesus want to buy some time to think about how to respond, or write down, you know, some meaningless. Another explanation I think is better to describe the situation. Jesus write down all the sin of the people, the Ten Commandments. Do not lie, do not commit murder, do not steal, or write down all the sin from all the accusers, from Pharisee, in their hearts, on the ground. And people see, oh, all of their sin was writing on the ground. No matter what kind of explanation you want to pick, but one of the key points I would like to highlight is, when we think upon other people, think about yourself. Think upon other people. Don't forget that three fingers also point to yourself. Do I also commit in this sin? Search your heart. I remember when I served in fellowship 20 years before, my counselor told us this interesting observation. He told me that sometimes the preacher, the leader, or some or parents, okay, they keep saying some temptation or sin. Maybe they themselves also commit in this sin or temptation. For example, when a pastor keep mentioning or against gay or homosexual, sometimes people find out he's a gay. Maybe he's too sensitive to this temptation or sin, so he keep mentioning this sin from his mouth, from his teaching. Very interesting psychological situation. No matter what kind of situation you think about, but it's interesting. When you repeat pointing out other people's sin, think about yourself. Do I also commit in this temptation? One of the great preachers in the past is George Whitefield. He died in 55. For his whole life, he preached 30,000 sermons, helped a lot of church and people to know Jesus. He shared one of his feeling and testimony. One day, when he watched a people executed in a capital punishment, he talked to himself. When you see it's a capital punishment, he talked to himself, Lord, it is by your grace. Otherwise, I am the one to be executed. Usually, he's a great preacher, right? Everyone look at him and also, you know, praise him. Usually, he will think that I'm more superior, more spiritual than this criminal. But not. He talked to himself. He talked to God. Lord, it is by your grace. Otherwise, I'm the one to be executed. I'm a sinner. Just forgiven. I'm a sinner. Only by your grace. Otherwise, I'm the one to be executed. So one of the famous words I love is, I don't know who say this, Christians are not perfect, just forgiven. Christians are not perfect, just forgiven. Look at our sin. Don't pretend I'm perfect. We all are sinners. When we condemn other people, think about ourselves. We are not perfect. We are just forgiven. Don't act like I'm perfect. Don't act like I'm sinless. We all need Savior. We are sinners. We are not perfect. Just forgiven. The third thing we can learn from this scripture is look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Verse 7 to 8, when Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you? No, Lord, she said. And Jesus said, neither do I. Go and sin no more. I would like to compare two groups of people. One is the law of the Bible and the Pharisee. And the other side is Jesus. Both of them, they look at this woman. They found she's a sinner. Yes, she's a sinner. But interesting, the Pharisee, only focus on her past and focus on the sin and point out the sin and want to stone her, put her to death. And Jesus looked at this woman. She found out she's a sinner for sure. But Jesus not only focused on the past, but Jesus looked in the future. She know that in Jesus, in Christ, when her sin was forgiven, she has a future. There's always a hope. Compared with Jesus and Pharisee, both of them look at the woman. They found a sin. But Pharisee only focused on the past and mistake. But Jesus focused on the future and hope. I think sometimes we need to have that kind of perspective to look ourselves. Not just focus on our mistake or past. Yes, we make mistake. We are sinner. But in Christ, we are forgiven. Just like Jesus. Hey, I know you are a sinner, but sin no more. Sin no more. In Christ, there's a hope. There's an opportunity. Jesus looked at people, future. They found there's hope. When we become a Christian or stay in the church longer and longer, don't assume you will become more look like or act like Jesus. Sometimes, I always think about that. When you sit in the church, sometimes we may become act like Pharisee. Look like Pharisee. Act like a Pharisee. We know a lot of scripture. But it doesn't mean we automatically act like Jesus. The Pharisee, they know a lot of scripture. All the rules. But they love to condemn people. Focus on the people's mistake. On their past. Put them to death. But we should look to Jesus. Learn from him. Act like Jesus. Always look into people's possibility and hope. Because in Christ, they all have freedom. In the whole chapter 8, Jesus told the people, I'm the light, I'm the truth. In him, there's already freedom. It's already freedom. It is good. After this story, there's so many discussion, dialogue between Jesus and Pharisee. They always argue against Jesus. But this story, beautiful story, a good illustration. In Christ, there's always a hope. Always freedom. Just like this lady. In Christ, also a button. This called reset. Reset, just press, we can reset, restart our life again. In Christ, just like this lady. This lady, we can reset, restart our life again. From YouTube, I saw a video, very interesting. This is from a company called, organization called LED. They talk about technology, entertainment, and design. Every year, there's a global conference. They invite so many top experts from this area to share any creative idea, any exciting design to share together. A few years before, they invite a young man, really young man, from Africa, to share his exciting story. This young man, we call William, in his age 14 years old, in his village, he built a windmill to create electricity, not only for his home, but for the whole village. This job or this creation not only changed his life, but also his family, but also his whole village. Interesting, in his village, all live in Muslim people. Only his family are Christian. It's tough. When he was in his home, in his village, there's no chance to go to school. So he go to the library every day. To the library. To self-study. To build up this windmill. To produce, to create electricity for his family, for the whole village. It's really tough. Just go to the library to self-study. To create that kind of job. It's amazing. But more amazing when I read his story, is about his father. He's only 14 years old. He built this kind of job. I mean, very, very amazing. When you try this idea, try it out, everyone laugh at him. They don't think it is possible. Hey, you're uneducated. You're only 14 years old. Just go to the library, read some book, you can build that kind of job. It's impossible. Everyone laughed at him. But his father always stand by him, encourage him. Keep going, keep doing, keep doing. Even his sister, William's sister, accused William. He said, "Hey, father, send him to the field, to the farm, to work. How come you only send him, allow him to study in the library all of the day? What a waste. You know? Send him go to farm, to work, not go to the library." But his father's always, always allow William to study, to try. Protect him, encourage him, stand by him. Maybe a loving testimony. A father, he's a Christian. And also, when there's no food in the village, some people want to steal something in their farm. In their culture, usually when they find the thief, find the people, they will cut their hand or kill the people to scare people. They don't want to come back to steal the things. But the father talked to his son, "We don't do this because we need to show forgiveness of Jesus Christ for others." His father really demonstrated how Jesus show love and mercy to other people. Not only to other people, to outsiders, but also show the love and mercy to his son William. Build him up, encourage him, defend him, so they have a hope and future in his life and his career. Same as William. When we look into this story, we have Jesus, we have a Heavenly Father. He loves you, he defends you, he died for you on the cross. So we can have a new hope. We have opportunity. We can restart our life again in Christ. We learn from this scripture, from this famous story. Yeah. Not just try or think about how to throw the first stone to other people. Look at your heart. Look at your sin. Look to Jesus. One day, yeah, you have the right to throw the first stone. But I hope that each of you will act like Jesus. We are not perfect. We are just forgiven. Look to Jesus. Hope that one day our life, our spiritual life, more look like Jesus rather than a Pharisee. Do any song prepare for the communion? If not, we can continue worship through the communion. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. When you look at the cross, look at the action in this story. Lord, help us open our eyes, open our heart, to feel your love, to see your love, to see your mercy. Especially when we worship you through the Holy Communion. When we took the bread, drink the cup, think about how you died on the cross for us. We are sinners, but thank you, Lord, you demonstrate your love by suffering. Lord, help us to live out this message, love and mercy, to other people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.